Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. This program today is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As always, I want to start by thanking you, our listeners. We're grateful for your encouragement and support, and we want you to remember that you can always visit our website for materials to encourage you and support you in your Christian walk. We also have a special event coming up, November 7th. Mark it on your calendars. On that evening, Don Hutchinson will be addressing the importance of religion in politics. And he'll be doing that as a fundraiser for us in Good News Christian Ministries and giving us a chance to meet you, our listeners, face to face. You can go to our website, goodnewschristianministries.ca, for details. This week I want to share with you the topic of sharing faith, the topic of reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world around us. And the scripture that I'm going to start with today is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 28 to 42. Now, this scripture occurs as Jesus has been traveling with his disciples, and they travel into the part of the country known as Samaria. And in Samaria, the disciples leave him to go and get food in the village while he waits at a well. And a Samaritan woman comes out and has just an amazing conversation with him, in which Jesus reveals to her that he is the Messiah who was promised in Scripture. And this woman, having heard this good news, does this. This is where the Scripture reading begins. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So, when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." What a wonderful revelation these people received as they spent time with Jesus. I pray that as we spend some time in God's Word, we will also be encouraged and strengthened in our faith. We'll look further at what it means to share this faith in a few moments, but I'd like to hear a song sung by the group GLAAD from their album Acapella Hymns. This song is a hymn of praise that speaks of the joy of telling about Jesus, as it says, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise."
For a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise.
the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace, my gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth the honors of Your name.
Jesus, the name that calms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. Your name is music in our ears. It's life and health and peace. It's life and health and peace.
You break the power of canceled sin. You set the prisoner free. Your blood can make the fallen free. And it was shed for me. Speak and when we hear Your voice, new life the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice, the humble poor believe.
Hear Him and sing, you deaf and dumb. Our foe has been destroyed. Behold Your Savior come, and leave you lame for joy, joy. For a thousand tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's praise. Great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing.
Charles Wesley, when he wrote that hymn, O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, wished for a thousand different languages in which to praise God. And perhaps he also wished for a thousand mouths to speak the praises of God. We have usually only one language. Some of us in the Ottawa River Valley have two or more languages we can praise God in. But we only have one mouth. And we've got to ask ourselves, how much do we use the mouth that we have and the language that we have to share the praise of God, not only in church, but also in the world abroad? For sharing faith is something we do when we meet together as Christians and we encourage one another. And in many ways, today's talk is linked to my other talk, Sharing Encouragement. Because as we remember the encouragement God has given us, as we remember what He's done for us, we have a testimony to share with others. That testimony is sometimes enacted through the deeds we do by showing the same compassion. And that testimony is sometimes enacted by sharing the word of Christ with someone who doesn't know it. When we're praising God before believers, we call it worship. Or we call it training and teaching from the word. But when we're praising God before unbelievers, we call it evangelism. Oh, it's so good to praise God. It is so good to lift up the name of Jesus. It's so good just for us to remember how He saved us. To remember the historical facts and the love that brought those things into being. To remember the cross of Jesus Christ and His willingness to suffer and die there for us. To remember how that word first became became something we believed in our hearts. To remember how it happened, that in the same instant, as the hymn writer John Newton says, 'twas faith that taught my heart to fear, and faith, t'was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. He spoke of that moment when he realized that he was a sinner and was struck with mortal fear at the thought that he had so much fallen short of the glory of God. And at the same moment, he knew that Christ had died for him so that his sins might be forgiven and so that he might trust God for eternal life. What a great blessing his hymn has been, the testimony of his own coming into faith that has led so many others to faith. What is your testimony? How did you come to know God? Was it when you were young in Sunday school, a Sunday school teacher and perhaps a number of people who just helped you to know that there was a God who loved you before you were even asking questions, before you were even aware that you were missing God? You were introduced to him by someone. You know, this Samaritan woman doesn't bring people to Jesus when she goes out into the town. She simply tells them what she's found. She says, "I've met somebody who told me everything about myself. Could he possibly be the Christ?" She leaves a question open, and the people in the town think about that question. They take a look at her. Many of them seem to trust her. They hear what she says, that he's acting as a prophet, telling me everything that I ever did. And they're struck by the excitement in her. They're struck by the change in her, the way that she is so confident that she has met something, she has met someone incomparable. And so some of them begin to believe already. But she says, "Come on out and see." They come to her, they come with her, and they make their way to Jesus. She didn't have that big a job to do, did she? She had to introduce them to Jesus. And Jesus was right there to meet them, to speak with them, to move in their hearts. Do you know that sometimes evangelism today is just as simple as that? That sometimes people come into a worship service with no Christian background. I just heard from a friend of mine, in fact, he's the current chair of Good News Christian Ministries Board, Tony Koppel, and he spoke of a woman who came to church 2 weeks in a row, having had no Christian background, and in the second week, God became real to her. She experienced the presence of God, or she experienced the love of God, and she heard the word of God, and she was ready to trust her life to Christ. Who would have thought it would be that easy to bring someone with no Christian background to the Lord? But somebody invited her to church, and she came, and she saw, and she believed because of what she experienced in the presence of God. That's what so many of these Samaritan villagers did. They came out to the well. They listened to Jesus. They invited him to speak to them some more. And what they heard convinced them more and more that this man really was the Savior of the world. One of Scripture's most effective evangelists was just a woman who posed a question. What do you think about this guy? Could he be the Messiah? Why don't you check him out? Now, granted, not all evangelism is that simple. It's not always that easy. Jesus speaks to the disciples about going out into a field in which the hard work has been done by other people. He's drawing a parallel between the groceries that he sent them to purchase. They went into town and they were going to purchase bread and they were going to purchase meats and fish, and they were going to bring that stuff to Jesus so they could have lunch. But how did that stuff come to be in the store? People went out and worked hard for it. They went to reap where somebody else had sowed with hard work. And likewise, they were about to reap a harvest among the people of Samaria, where Jesus had given the witness. Jesus had warmed the hearts. Jesus had shown his power and his grace. And all they needed to do was to see people coming to Christ. This is the same today in many cases. There are times when you're the one sowing seeds diligently, when you're the one watering the seeds, and you may find yourself feeling frustrated, wondering if your evangelism is having any effect. You're showing compassion in the name of Christ. You're spending time praying for people and praying with people. You're demonstrating the love that Christ has put into your heart, and you're hoping that it takes effect. And then, perhaps, one day, they come to church and the pastor gives a message that's the same thing you've been saying all this time, but they come to Christ. Perhaps one day they talk to a complete stranger and learn the gospel in a way that touches their heart, and they reap an easy harvest where you have sown. Our friend Billy Graham, the man who has been responsible for the salvation of so many people, would himself confess that the prayers of the Christians in the towns in which he ministered and the witness of one neighbor to another is the real foundation of the success of those Billy Graham missions over the years. The seeds have been sown by others, and Billy Graham has had the privilege of sowing new seeds for some, but so often reaping a harvest for which others have labored. And so the sower and the reaper rejoice together. This is good news in God. I want to continue to expand upon this theme for a moment, but here's a upbeat tune by Nicole Mullen from a Wow Hits collection from 2003. And she says something quite simple, that we should talk about it, talk about our faith. Let's listen to Nicole as she sings this message to us.
Talk about it, say so, talk, talk about it.
talk about it. Can it be as simple as that? That sharing the faith can simply be talking about it? You know, so often we think we have to tell the whole gospel to somebody. But simply sharing how you respond to hardship, telling someone, you know, when I go through something like this, I pray to God. That tells them that you believe in God. That tells them that you found God to be a great help in times of trouble. It's not a big theological treatise. It's just what you do. It's just the truth. Sometimes people want to spin their testimony into something fantastic in order to make it more convincing. But your testimony is what God has given you. Your testimony is your honest account of what God has done. And just talking about it can make such a difference. Sometimes just asking the question. I was just so privileged recently to be in the church at coffee hour, and one of the children from Sunday school asked me to pray with him. He was praying, as he'd asked me many times before, to pray for his family, his parents and his extended family. He's got a tender heart. And this time, as we prayed for, as he asked God for help to be a better son and a better boy, I asked him if he'd ever asked Jesus into his heart. And he said no. He hadn't. I asked him if he wanted to, and he asked a few questions about what that meant, and then we prayed together. You know, you might think that as a minister I'm doing that all the time. Believe me, I'm not. I wish I were. But I tell you, the joy that you feel when somebody finally responds to the invitation to trust their lives to Christ and to hope in Him for eternal life, it's a great joy. Sometimes it's that easy, and sometimes it's just one more step along the way. Are you willing to put yourself out there, to go to your friends and say, here's what I've experienced? In the right time and the right place, your words can make a huge difference. And Paul himself reminds us that every time is a right time. It might not be the right time for loudly shouting on the street corners. It might be a time for quietly praying with somebody at a coffee table. It might be the time to simply remind someone that you love them and you're thinking of them, and that you know that God loves them too. It might be time to ask somebody, have you ever trusted Christ? Have you ever asked Him into your heart to be Lord of your life? It might be that simple. It might be another step along the way. Let's pray together about this and ask God to just encourage us to do what He's longing for us to do, that is to share our faith with a lost and needy world. Almighty God, we have learned from You that You are indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. We pray, Almighty God, that You would move by Your powerful hand in our hearts and minds to take away our fears, to take away our hesitation, to increase our love, and to increase our courage, and that You would allow us to sow a seed of Your love, or perhaps to reap a harvest of salvation in the lives of the people You love and we love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listeners, thank you once again for your encouragement and support. We do thank you because you keep us on the air week by week. You know, I just learned a few days ago from the chair of our board that our message is being picked up on the internet, that people visit our website and our messages are downloaded 30 times a day from mainland China. That's 30 people a day in China who are listening to this word of the gospel. And that's just China. You keep us in a position where we can continue this ministry of reaching 7,000 listeners in the Ottawa River Valley and reaching people through the internet, through the world. So if you can, please make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Post Office Box 184 Rideau Ferry. Ontario is the province and the postal code is K0G1W0. We will be happy to send you a receipt at Income Tax Time. And once again, please check our website for further information about our November 7th event, in which Don Hutchinson will address us on the importance of faith in politics. In a world in which the gospel is not always welcome in the public sphere, Don Hutchinson has been one of the great witnesses to that in the nation's capital. So join us at St. Timothy's Anglican Church on that night and find the rest of the details on our website. Be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now to conclude our program, I'd like to have you listen to this instrumental song, a celebration of hymns. I think you'll probably remember the words to "Tell Me the Old, Old Story." I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with His constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 5.